Good evening, everybody. It is July 20th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, that's 2021. This is a meeting of the PNB's Audit Committee. So tonight, well, I guess the first thing to do is to call the roll. And Adriana, did you want to do that? I think you were going to be secretary at one point. But I can just do it.
But I cannot do it now because I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess not then.
I can talk, but I cannot drive.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'll call the roll then. Adriana Casaneve is clearly here. All right. Darlene Pagano? No, Darlene. Eric Jacobson?
Here.
Okay, this is James McFadden. James, not here yet. Janine Roan. All right, Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Lawrence, thank you. Marilyn Vote Downey.
I'm here.
Ron Pinchbeck.
Here.
Great. Sandra Rollin. Okay. Sandy Weinman wrote to say he probably couldn't make it. Tom Boyce. William Hirwagen.
Present.
Okay. Let's see. Great. Let me see. What does this add up to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, and me, 7. Great. Okay, so we'll get started and hope some of the other folks join us. We also have with us tonight Jorge Diaz from Rogers & Company, our auditing firm, Anita Sims from NETA, and I believe we're expecting George Walter from NETA to call in. I know he is here. Sorry?
He is.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. So let's see. So I've called this meeting to order at, I should have done that a minute ago. Let's call that 8:35. That happened. Roll call done. Does anybody volunteer to be timekeeper? And I would say it would be pretty loose since most of the agenda is going to be taken up by presentations. It would just be kind of to remind us maybe every 15 minutes how much time has gone by. I think that would take care of it. Any volunteers? Or I can just do it myself, set a timer. All right. The agenda for the open session is a presentation of the fiscal year 2020 audited financial statements, and including questions and answers that should take a maximum of 60 minutes, 1 hour. Let's hope it takes a little less. And most of that will be done by Jorge Diaz from Rogers & Company. And that's really all I have on this agenda for tonight, you know, followed by new business and perhaps setting the date of the next meeting. And I've also added an executive session because we do have the management letter in our hands. And so Jorge can go over that with us as well. But we'll talk about that agenda, which is not complicated either, when we get...
Ian, do you want me to do the timekeeping? I feel bad that you haven't to do that. Is that going to be tough?
It'd be great if you could just, you know, remind us when another, say, quarter hour has gone by.
Okay, every 15
minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, if somebody's speaking, wait until they're done with their sentence or something. You know.
There's no time limit on speakers, though, right?
Well, you know, Jorge has no time limit. He's making presentations.
Yeah, okay.
For questions, you know, as actually now that you mention it. We'd like to keep the questions short, so those should be no more than 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay,
if
all right.
That's agreeable. Okay. Questions. I'll just make a note.
Okay.
Questions. A max of 2 minutes. Great. Yeah, you should be able to ask your question within 2 minutes. I think we all should. All right. So I've read out the agenda. Does anyone have any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, it's approved. So we can get started then. Without further ado, Jorge, would you like to start your presentation of tonight's the 2020 statements?
Absolutely. Thank you, Eileen, and good evening, committee members. My name is Jorge Diaz with Rogers & Company, responsible for leading up the fiscal year 20 audit. So the purpose of this is just to run through the financials at a very high level, and then in closed session we'll touch on the management letter. But this is also an opportunity for you all to ask any questions of me in terms of the process, the numbers and figures, and anything of that nature, happy to address. But just kind of before I jump into the financials and overall a picture of what Pacifica has done is there's been some vast improvements in catching up the audits and taxes and stuff of that nature. If you think about it, and I don't mean to kind of rehash other years, but you know, the 2017 audit got issued in June of 2019. So there's essentially been four audits done in 2 years, which is quite remarkable. You know, we've had a lot of good help from NETA and the managers as well at the stations, along with you know, Eileen and Lydia and everyone involved. So, you know, we're getting caught up and everything's getting back on track. I mean, the fact that we're here in, you know, July of 2021, touching on the September 30th, 20 financials is certainly impressive. Now, you know, typically, you know, again, we just got the 2019 audit done. You know, typically the September fiscal year audit, you might want to get it done even sooner than where we are here. But, you know, considering where you were a few years ago, certainly there's been leaps and bounds made for getting you current on an audit. And that's certainly shown here. And it is nice for this call to be able to be reviewing much more relevant numbers and figures in these financials because, again, you're still in your, you're almost getting, it'll be fiscal year 21 will be over before we know it. But, you know, again, you're just getting more caught up and more, and that's always a good sign here. Now, I'm going to refer to some page numbers here. I'll be referring to the page numbers in the bottom right-hand corner of the audited financials. So if you're looking at it on a screen and it's a PDF, don't pay attention to the PDF page numbers. Pay attention to the page numbers at the bottom right-hand corner of the page. Now, page 1, 2, and 3 is the independent auditor's report. Just to summarize this briefly and kind of let you know how things changed from previous audits, the first page really just describes management's responsibility and the auditor's responsibility in an audit. So management's responsibility is essentially they're responsible for designing, implementing, and maintaining internal controls relevant for the audit. And they're also responsible for the presentation of fair financial statements that they're free from material misstatements. My responsibility or our firm's responsibility is to express an opinion on the financials. We have to express an opinion and abide by GAS, which is essentially the auditing standards promulgated by the United States. And we also have to essentially make sure that it's within GAAP, which is the accounting principles of U.S. GAAP. So, you know, all the testing and things that we're doing in order to get to this standpoint is has to be under those standards, and we have to make sure that we can get comfort enough to be able to provide an opinion. Now, one thing in fiscal year 20 is, and this actually, you know, originally we thought we were still going to have a scope limitation because of the pension plans, the accruals and penalties and stuff of that nature, but happy to report that this is the first audit that you all will be receiving or did receive a clean opinion on your financials, and what that's called is an unmodified opinion. So, moving back to 2017 and years prior to since we were the auditor, you had issues with your pension plans adjustments and getting caught up on that. As well as, in 2017, I know, we weren't able to corroborate some of the support and transactions that we requested in the audit. So you've come a long way in the opinion standpoint as well, because although you're still catching up your audits for your pension, for your benefit plans, we were able to get enough information to be able to get comfort with your accrual adjustments. Moreover, this is the first time since we've been the audit firm, and I imagine even that predates us, is that we were able to say, okay, as of the issuance date, which is June 30th, you paid out all the contributions that you owed to your plans, okay? So that was a big milestone, and that really certainly helped get us to where we are today, where we were able to provide that opinion. You'll see that on page 2 of this auditor's report. You'll notice a lot of the language is somewhat similar for the 2019 financial statements. We had to still issue a disclaimer of opinion because of where you were as of September 30th, 2019. So this, assuming everything, goes fine and swimmingly for fiscal year 21, you won't see any more disclaimer of opinions moving forward as it relates to the pension plans or should you have issues, getting us support for any transactions that we're testing in the audit. But, you've been great the last couple of years, and I don't foresee that being an issue moving forward. So, by and large, this has come a long way. Originally we thought we may have to have a disclaimer here, but the fiscal year 20 statements do show an unqualified or unmodified opinion. Unqualified used to be the old lingo there. And that's shown in the second to last paragraph on page 2. You'll also see language as well, so a lot of this outside of that opinion paragraph will look similar. The last paragraph on page 2, though, you'll also see that we still do have an emphasis of matter paragraph regarding a going concern issue. Now, should be no surprise, but you've had some nice years the last couple years due to a couple meaningful events and transactions for which I'll get into. But that being said, as of September 30th, 2020, you're still running at a net deficit in your reserves. Couple that with, your loans that you have that would be coming due soon and lawsuits and stuff of that nature. We're still providing an emphasis of matter paragraph to the financial statement reader that there could be going concern issues within these financials. Now, there's a lot of detail and a lot of paragraphs in the back of this, in these footnotes that describes management's plans, where you all are as of today, what has helped in terms of, some of the big things that did help, and we can get into in a moment, but, the fact that you were able to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program, that was a nice chunk of change that you all got and received in fiscal year 20, and you also were able to do it again for fiscal year 21. So again, those forgivable loans, and you were able to get the fiscal year 20 loan forgiven, and assuming you get the round 2 forgiveness, those should certainly help try to stabilize some of your cash flow issues and also further eat into your deficit. But all that being said, there's a lot of beef in this in these footnotes describing what is going on in your going concern and why there could be issues moving forward. But again, nothing should be earth-shattering there. You've had a going concern for a number of years, and again, that is you can kind of locate that in footnotes 14 and 15 in the back of this audit. And then the last paragraph to kind of touch on is on page 3. This is the last paragraph of the audit report. This is essentially saying that you all opt to have some supplemental information regarding separating out the divisions, so you can see the balance sheet as well as the P&L and your expenses by division in the back of the audit report, which is supplemental information that you all opt to do. It's not required, but you all have you've all had that in your audit for a number of years, and you think that's certainly you like it. It's meaningful because you can see the breakout between the divisions and the stations. And that's in the back of the audit. So that's really what that last paragraph on page three is referring to. Now, outside of your audit report, on page four starts the core financial statements of Pacifica. Now, this first, just to explain this statement real quick, it's called the Statement of Financial Position, but that's a nonprofit lingo. It's really just called a balance sheet, if you're more familiar with that terminology. And what this does is summarize the assets, liabilities, and net assets or reserves of Pacifica as of September 30th, 2020 and 2019. Now, much of this is a snapshot of a given point in time, but it's good to see kind of some trends and why things went up and why things went down. And your assets, if you go about halfway down the page, these were down very slightly, less than 1%, only about down 45,000 compared to the previous year. So your asset position stayed fairly stable, okay? And even you can see your cash increased quite significantly, about $243,000. From a percentage standpoint, that's a nice jump from 2019. And really, the reason for that is getting that PPP funding, decreasing your expenses, and also collecting a little bit more on your contributions receivable. Those were the big reasons for your overall cash position increasing compared to where it was at 2019. Now, if you look below your assets, these are your liabilities. You only have a few categories here. Now, this is down about almost $800,000 compared to 2019. So the big takeaway is in that accrued expenses and payroll benefits. There was, a large adjustment to get the estimated assessments and penalties essentially down to a more reasonable level, because what you all had in the pension plans in terms of the estimate of what you all had to pay was it actually came in much lower once you all figured out, okay, these are all the catch-up contributions, these are all the reports that we need to file, this is us getting into the voluntary program with the Department of Labor. All that stuff that you've been doing to get your pension plans caught up, this was the first year for which we were able to get comfort and say, okay, well, let's adjust this down because we do know what exactly we do need to be paying in terms of estimated penalties and interest and stuff like that. So that's why ultimately your liabilities were down compared to what they were at the previous year. And then last but not least, and probably the most important piece of this statement, is your net assets, your net deficit. This you cut into your net deficit to the tune of about $743,000, which represents the surplus for the year. So as I alluded to with your going concern, you're cutting further into that deficit and, assuming maybe perhaps getting more grants and contributions and stuff like that for having more current audits and taxations and stuff like that, hopefully you'll continue to be able to cut into your deficit to where, eventually you'll be able to get out of the red and start turning a surplus in your overall reserves. But, you're trending nicely. In 2018, you had about $4.6 million in total net deficit. 2019, it went down to a little less than $2 million, and now you're at $1.22 million in your net deficit. So, again, you're not out of the woods yet, but you're certainly trending in the right direction the last couple years. And that's just a testament to, getting and applying for the Paycheck Protection Program, having a large forgiveness of accounts payable lifted with one of your vendors that you've had on your book for quite some time. And trying to cultivate new relationships, get into new things, fundraising, all of these things hopefully will continue to help you dig out of your net deficit hole. And then ultimately, hopefully you'll be able to, we'll be able to take that emphasis of matter about the going concern off of your audit's financial statements. Now, if you turn the page to page five here, this is, tells a story as to how you are able to turn that surplus. Now, it's a little skewed because, your revenue was down compared to 2019. Now, it was down about $650,000, which is not unique to any of our nonprofits that we're auditing. The majority of our organizations that we're auditing, the revenue was down because, folks were holding their pocketbooks a little tighter because of COVID. On the trade association side, many events and trade shows and conferences got canceled. So there was a lot of lot of all organizations, which should not be to any surprise, and not even in even outside of the nonprofit industry, most industries did see a hit due to COVID. So not a surprise that it did go down about $650,000. But your listeners' support and donations did go up about $220,000. But you just took a little bit of a dive there in your grants and contributions in 2020, because in 2019 you got some large grants and foundation support, so which really buoyed your 2019 numbers. However, you were able to still turn a surplus in your operations as well as your total net assets because you were able to control your expenses. Your total expenses actually went down about $625,000 compared to the previous year, and I'll get into why in a moment. But also you'll see as well that non-operating activity, the gain on accrued pension plan liability adjustment of $477,000, that's a non-cash accrual adjustment there, but that is changing your accrual-based change in net assets due to, again, years ago, having that estimated assessment and penalties for your pension plans, and you being able to take a gain on that now due to facts and circumstances that came to us in the last few weeks. I won't touch on page 6, that's just a 2019 statement. And the next page I just wanted to touch on, which kind of takes your expenses and puts it in a little easier light to kind of put in, is on page 7. And this is a statement of functional expenses. So just to explain this briefly, this takes your overall natural type categories on your left. Natural categories means your personnel, your rent, your consultants, your depreciation, all that. And it splices it up between your program service, which is your mission and mission-related activities, as well as your supporting service functions, your overhead, which in a nonprofit world is your management in general, or your G&A, and your fundraising and development. So it takes your natural categories and it splices it out here, and it shows, there's a comparative statement on page 8, but it shows really how were you able to make decreases in your overall expenses. So the big takeaways here is that your personnel costs, you're able to cut that down a little bit to the tune of about $218,000. Your board meetings, of course, went down quite significantly to over $200,000. Your community events went down $138,000, which, again, should be to no surprise due to COVID lockdowns and protocols. Those three big categories were reasons for you being able to control your expenses and ultimately turn a surplus in your operations. So, you know, again, I'm sure everyone lost stuff in COVID in terms of, not being able to do these community events and perhaps not being able to cultivate some new relationships in that respect. But from a dollars and cents standpoint, you were able to control those expenses, which ultimately led to a surplus for 2020. And the last statement to touch on before I jump into the footnotes here is on page 9, which is the cash flow. I just skipped over page 8. That's just a comparative 2019 statement. And this is somewhat a confusing schedule if you don't look at these often. But just to try and explain this, it takes your accrual-based change in net assets at the very top, and it backs out timing and temporary type and non-cash differences to see how it arrives at your cash basis or your cash position. So at the very top, you made $743,000 on an accrual basis. But if you look at the very bottom, you only increased your cash $243,000. So the big takeaway is, so why would that occur is because you had large non-cash gains from your accrued pension plan adjustment. You had decreases as well you had a cash outflows for your purchase of your property equipment. And you had cash decreases in your accounts payable and your accrued expenses, which ultimately led to your accrual-based change in net assets being greater than your cash basis. But this is similar to the balance sheet. This is largely timing-driven as well. And I wouldn't get too hung up on it. We do have to provide you this statement in order to issue a clean opinion. So that's the main reason we have this here. But if you ever did want to explain it, you could just say it goes from accrual basis to cash basis, and this is largely timing driven due to certain events. You can also see, of course, you have some large proceeds from your Paycheck Protection Program loan, about $1.2 million, which buoyed your cash position and also ultimately helped your accrual-based change in net assets as well. Now, after page 9 starts the notes to these financial statements, I'm only going to touch on the big changes that we've seen since the last time we've met. But to summarize this part of the audit in general, it goes over your nature of your operations and your significant accounting policies, and then provides further footnotes and support on the numbers and transactions that we saw and went over in those first few pages. It also touches on events and things that are going on in 2020, that are going on after 2020, and as well as some extensive disclosures on your management plans about the going concern and what you are planning on doing and what you all are physically doing to, you know, try to essentially get out of your net deficit position. But much of these footnotes are very consistent. I mean, of course, they're updated with numbers that are relevant to the years under audit, but the language is very consistent, except when you go to page 14. We do say that some subsequent events that are very significant for you all, that you did get your first Paycheck Protection Program forgiven by the SBA in 2021, and you also applied for your second loan in February 9, 2021. So we do also provide further support as to where those details are in footnote 7. So, and one thing to clarify there as well, the accounting standard said that if you were to get your Paycheck Protection Program loan essentially forgiven and you knew that it was going to be forgiven, it was really just a formality with filing the papers with the SBA, you could recognize that in the revenue for which you applied and essentially spent the money towards those eligible costs, which would be payroll, rent, stuff like that. So because Pacifica did that and they were able to show and also subsequently get forgiveness prior to issuing this report, that is why you saw the forgiveness of the loan, and that's why you don't see a loan payable as it relates to your Paycheck Protection Program on your balance sheet as of September 30th, 2020. And assuming everything goes fine with the usage of the funds for the second round, and that you can prove to us that things are in order as of September 31st, 21, if you don't have granted forgiveness by the SBA, you could still recognize that as revenue in your 2021 financials. But of course, that's getting a little bit ahead of us. But just wanted to kind of clarify that piece because the timing is a little off compared to it was forgiven. Now, the next notable change I did want to touch on page 18. This is, again, further talking about the Paycheck Protection Program loans, the bottom of page 18, and it spans to page 19. This is just the basic terms and the PPP and how much you got, what the eligible expenses you spent on, and why that was a thing. So, again, that's just some basic language that if you ever did want to look back, anyone could see kind of what that was, and that it was the CARES Act, of course, which was triggered by the pandemic. The other thing to touch on as well is the page 24 and 25. This summer, and page 25 is really the key here. This shows the accrued pension liabilities for each division. So you can see some drastic differences compared to 2019 because, again, you're paying out – during 2020, you paid out much of the station's catch-up contributions and contributions that – the delinquent contributions you owed back to the plans for KPFT, WBI, WBAI, and PFW, as well as Pacifica Radio Archives. Moreover, just to let you – just we also disclose and we tested the fact that after September 30th, 2020, you also paid out the PNO, KPFA, and KPFK pension liability. So this was the base. This footnote was the basis for much of the disclaimer of opinion in years past, and this is essentially showing that we're confident with these numbers as of September 30th, 2020, and everything's getting back in order, even though, again, there's still some work to be done to catch up the audits. But just because the audits aren't done or the pension audits right now doesn't mean that we won't be able to get comfort on the estimated penalties because, getting the census and getting the contributions in order and really understanding, okay, what is the true likelihood that Pacifica will have to be paying these estimated penalties and delinquent filings and stuff like that, we were able to knock that down and get and essentially issue that clean opinion. So this was the jux of what you why you've had a disclaimer in the past, and I anticipate you having clean opinions in future audits, assuming you know we're going to be getting everything back from our sample testing and stuff like that. But shouldn't be any issues there moving forward, and hopefully you know once you. And, you know, I understand one of the 401k plan ultimately will be closing or has closed. And then once the audits are caught up and everything's good with the DOL, you'll be able to trim this footnote quite significantly. And that will be, you know, one less issue that you all have to be dealing with moving forward. Absent that, those significant changes, the rest is very consistent. We do have, as I alluded to, pages 14 or footnotes 14 and 15 relate to the going concern. And then in the back there, we have, after pages 31, we have the supplemental schedules, which again breaks out the balance sheet and the various transactions between the divisions. So I know I went through those footnotes quite quickly, but are there any I'll just open the floor now. Are there any questions on the process, the footnotes, the core statements, anything in general? I'm happy to address them at this time.
Ron, with a question.
Go ahead, Ron.
You know, that was a very, very good report. Appreciate it. Thank you. I have a question. If based on your experience, based on your observations, if you want to give this, if you want to give our financial situation a grade, A, B, C, D, I'm not going to include F, A, B, C, D, plus, minus, you know, based on your observations, based on our numbers, based on trends, you know, that we're dealing with also, what kind of grade would you give our situation right now, if you're willing to do that?
Well, I'll say this. You know, as an auditor, we're usually looking back at the numbers, and we're not really forecasting things out. And, you know, there's a great unknown out there that, you know, no one knows. So we're not really in the business of grading. I will say that the trend that we've seen in the past in terms of, you know, having a $4.6 million deficit, now it's cut to 1.2, that's a good trend. But the fact that you're still in a deficit position certainly was the reason for, and also, you know, the debt that you have incurred as well. Those are the two key reasons for you having that going concern possibly. So, you know, having a going concern on your in your report, I mean, it doesn't impact the audit opinion, at least this year. But it's not the, I mean, I'd say it's not the, you know, most of the audits we issue don't have a going concern, if that helps answer your question. But I don't know if I'm in a position to essentially give you a grade, because I don't even know what the financial position is going to end up with at the end of the fiscal year 21, which is right around the corner. So, I mean, again,
that's fair. I understand. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your response. Appreciate it.
Okay. Anybody else with questions?
Yeah, Lawrence to the stack.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, and thank you, go ahead, Diaz, for your presentation. I'm a latch on to the optimism that you express during this period, during this audit period. Blame me for being an internal optimist, but I believe that compared to where we were and where we are going now, I appreciate your statement that we are heading in the right direction, but of course, there's a lot of work to do. So to the degree of the growing concern, to what degree is that classified, and how was the, and I don't know how to say it, the restated or the resubmitted audit that was, again, just resubmitted. Is that touch on information, I mean? Chair?
I'm sorry. Jorge, did you catch the question?
I didn't catch the end of that question.
The end of that question is, I had asked Eileen at the Pacifica National Board meeting in regards to the thing, the mistake that was found in our favor. How is that going to be encumbered, and how is that going to be expressed in our financial situation? Can you answer that in open session?
Yeah, I can. So basically, what you're referring to is the adjusting of the accrual down for the pension plan liabilities that was on the books for a number of years. Now, what the original, we thought that was still going to be an issue with the audit opinion, but we got some further facts and circumstances the past few weeks where, as we were able to essentially pull back the audit and essentially reflect that adjustment through these financials, for which that also adjusted your opinion for 2020. Now, reissuing financials, that happens from time to time. Certainly, if you get something as significant as that where it's going to impact your opinion, especially for the better, if it was for the worse, we'd still obviously have to do that. But, given the light of, kind of where we were and when we got that information, it was essentially made the decision that, it was significant enough where we could take this into consideration and reissue. So that adjustment is reflected in this audit that you're seeing here. Now, I will say that the going concern has been in your audit for a number of years, and that did not impact that piece did not impact your going concern. Okay, so there's two elements to your opinion. If we're able to corroborate and get comfort that the financial statements are materially stated properly, that goes into your audit opinion. And since we're able to get comfort over that accrual, that's now why you have an unqualified or an unmodified opinion on your financials for 2020. The other piece is the emphasis of matter for your going concern. That what's driving that is the fact that you have a deficit in your reserves. So, moving forward, if you continue the trend and kind of, dig out of the hole and you experience more, positive trends in your cash flow, as well as, paying down your debt and also climbing out of your reserve hole, that will then be impacting whether or not we need to put a going concern, and this is a matter paragraph in your auditor report. Hopefully I helped answer that question, but let me know if you have any follow-up questions.
No, follow-up. Like thank you very much, Mr. Diaz.
Sure.
Okay, just to clarify, because I wouldn't have called it Lawrence. I wouldn't call it a mistake. It was more that we received additional information after the audit was first issued, and that additional information was definitely worth working on producing a reissued audit. So just to clarify the terms.
And in working with Pacifica the last few years, it was always known that you would ultimately were going to climb out of this disclaimer of opinion, whether it was going to be fiscal year 20 or fiscal year 21 or, when all the audits got caught up, then would you be able to assess, okay, is this the right accrual or not? But again, we were able to get to that, get some information and get comfort with that, which is what triggered the reissuance. And, hopefully you all getting back on track with current audits as well as getting clean opinions, who knows what that could bring moving forward, whether that could help bring in new donors or other grants from CVP and other things like that. So, getting you back in the swing of current audits, current taxes, stuff like that, really step one. And I really think it's been a heavy lift and a heavy effort for a lot of folks. That's step one. I really think you are. It's great that you're moving in that direction.
Jorge, would it be fair to say that while we still have the disclaimer that we knew that we had the going concern, but we couldn't be sure how much it was, and we couldn't be sure overall, in a general way, of Pacifica's financial state. But now we still have a going concern, but we know how much money it's actually referring to, because we can have confidence in the numbers now.
Yeah, you can have confidence.
Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way. You can have confidence that the numbers are materially stated properly, which wasn't the case before. And but the going concern, again, that's triggered by, you know, the deficit in your reserves,
right,
and stuff like that. So yes, that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Okay.
Eric to the staff.
Marilyn staff.
Eric. Okay, Eric then Marilyn.
Yes,
Eric, go
thank
ahead.
You. Thank you, Mr. Diaz. I'm just trying to get a little more understanding on the pension plan issue. There's reference made to some demands of opposing legal counsel. Some sort of adversary proceeding has arisen in relation to the pension plan. Do I infer correctly? Or it's perhaps stated above, and I missed the exact reference in the text.
Yes.
If it's appropriate for open session, can you respond with any detail there?
Yeah. So basically, the purpose of the financial statement audit is to make sure that your balance sheet, as well as the transactions that make up your P&L, your functional expense statement, your cash flow, that we're comfortable in issuing a clean opinion. Now, there's certainly things to factor in that are not qualitative in nature, such as litigation, such as, you know, commitments, contingencies, stuff like that. Now, in terms of, you know, ongoing litigation with any aspect of Pacifica, there's certain things you have to take in consideration as us, the audit firm, when we're doing the financial statement audit. Now, depending on the information that we get and that we evaluate and receive, sometimes that would qualify to adjust and trigger an allowance or an accrual regarding a lawsuit. But typically, if the lawsuit is not essentially going to, if it's not known that it's going to be a negative impact to Pacifica, then the accounting standards do not require that you put an expense or something of that nature within your accruals or something about that. It's really has to be a determinant that it's eventually going to be a negative a claim for in this lawsuit, for which would impact your overall statements here. So what I was referring to in terms of the accrual adjustment, that was an amount that was on the books and records of Pacifica as it relates to future penalties and assessments because of the delinquent plans. So, that is separate of any lawsuit that could or that could be pending or that was in the past that Pacifica could for some reason have to have some sort of liability towards, if that makes sense.
A quick follow-up, Eileen, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead, Eric.
So, obviously, a pension plan, it's understood, and most of us know that ERISA is a very solemn piece of legislation because the employees who work as part of their benefits package, inclusive of a pension plan, want to have confidence that it'll be there at the time of their retirement. To anyone's knowledge, in your firm or yourself personally, has any employee ever not had their pension honored at the time of their retirement as yet? Has any harm been done to any employee as a result of any problems that have been identified with the full funding of the pension, if that's part of what's what's being described here?
Yes,
now being
that's your question. Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying. So the benefit plans are audited separately by a separate company. I will say that what we're testing on the financial statement audit is to make sure that all of the contributions to these participants, as well as the catch-up contributions and the accrued interest that was due to them because they were untimely in the past, if those are all remitted to the plan, from a financial statement standpoint, you know, that's that's good news for this audit. In terms of any issues with the the specific participants and maybe moving forward or whatever that may be, that would come through in the benefit plan audit as it relates to the separate firm that's doing that.
Let me just say that I've been partly on top of the pension plans issues and, what's going on, who's doing what. And I've never heard of anything like that, like what you mentioned. Nobody's contested anything or made claims that haven't been met or anything of that sort. Quickly, Eric, because, other people are on the stack.
Yeah, just in conclusion, then, it's fair to say that the trend lines, the favorable trend lines in the other areas you've mentioned would also pertain to this pension issue as well, just as a general.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of work in that area by the that separate firm, and NETA, they've had a lot of folks on the HR who are dealing specifically with the pension plans. There's been a lot of good developments in that area, and I expect you all to get caught up on those audits as well, and curb that footnote down quite a bit from what you've seen here. So, but yeah, there's been a lot of good developments in that area.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
I think I mentioned in last week's PNB meeting that it's taken a long time because there was a lot of information that just wasn't easy to find or, didn't exist in all the places it was supposed to be. Things like some participants' hire dates, in order to calculate how much of a pension somebody has accrued, you need to know when they started accruing it, that is, when they started working. So, some of the personnel files weren't as complete as they should have been, or occasionally there were even Social Security numbers missing, things like that. So, people had to do a lot of work to put all that together and then, track it all down and organize it. But I think that is pretty much it's done up through probably 2020 and maybe even this year. I'm not totally sure. But that's why, all this has been taking so long. Anyway, okay, Marilyn, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I want thank you, Mr. Diaz, for all the work that you've done and for that very illuminating report. It really clarified things. I had an elementary question. We were all under the impression that the deadline was in a big hurry to be June 30th, and then subsequently we found out it had been actually extended before that, and it was August 19th. Is that the deadline now? And I assume we're going to meet it or have met it. And do you have any explanation for where that confusion came from?
Yeah, sure. So I can touch on that. So basically, internally and everything that was going to be shared with the Attorney General of California and other places. There was this thought that, okay, let's really try and get everything done by June 30th of 2021. It was also, in certain documents, like, to the lender to extend any terms regarding payment on that, the hope is to get everything done by 2021, June 30th, 2021. Now, so that deadline was always a goal for us and always a goal for Pacifica. To really try and get you on path. Now, the thing about that is that when the audit gets finalized and we're ready to go, that's when really our tax team can focus on the tax returns and get those raring and get those going. This is the first time since we've been auditing it that we're actually going to have the audited statements ready prior to filing the tax returns. So that the filing deadline for the tax returns would be for the IRS Form 990 as well as the California forms RRF1 and CA199. Those are due on August 15th. So we're going to hit those deadlines. You've hit your tax deadlines in the past, but as you might recall, you know, sometimes we've had to go back and amend some numbers because the audit was significantly different from what was filed in the 990. So this is going to, you know, you're not going to have to amend a 990 moving forward. And the regulatory deadline that you want to really focus on is August 15th. Now, certain internal deadlines and getting things done and making sure you're keeping your lender happy, that was, really trying to get – the goal was always June 30th, which is why we really pushed hard, as well as why NETA and everyone really pushed hard to kind of get this thing done and buttoned up as close to 6:30 as possible.
I get it. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Lawrence, to the stack one more time, Eileen, please.
Go ahead, Lawrence, if nobody else is waiting, so go ahead.
Yeah, if no one else is in the wings, I'll go.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So at the PNB meeting last week, our IED also reported the extension on the 990s as well, so I just wanted to reiterate that, and that's good to know. Thank you.
Yep. No, yep. You're extended to August 15th. And, our tax team is working hard with NETA, to get those forms filled out. And, we'll get those taken care of. And you shouldn't, you'll be all buttoned up with the IRS as well as, any bodies in California, once those forms are completed. So everything should be in good order there. No problem.
And just for everybody listening, and as a sort of nonprofit finance manager who has had to get audits done by their due dates, audits are generally due for nonprofits, for the 990 at least, 4.5 months after the end of the fiscal year. But you can ask for an extension, and I think probably everybody, almost everybody does, and it's automatically granted. And that extension is for another 6 months. So you can generally calculate that your audit's going to be due 10.5 months after the end of your fiscal year. You just have to make sure to file for the extension, and then it's granted. So there's no mystery about the extension. It's just, it's routine. I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you.
We haven't. Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
It's a question, I guess, to you as chair and to the committee. When are we going to consider re-engagement of the audit firm?
I don't know. We haven't discussed it. We can discuss that in some other meeting, though. I don't think that's a topic for tonight. Anita is here with us. I don't know if Anita would like to comment on anything that we've been discussing or some other aspect of all this. Anita, you're free to say no.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment and echo what Jorge just said about meeting the deadline. I know staff, from all the activity that's been going on, will probably be finished with sending everything to that department within Rogers and Company by next week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really all I wanted to add. But thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, Georgia Walter is here as well, I think. Don't know, George, if you have any comments in particular.
I'm encouraged on the progress in that we're able to get the new year, meaning FY 21, set up actually during the year. And so I expect the books to be in a lot better shape with the divisions that we manage, certainly, and the other divisions should have no excuse not to be in good shape with their reconciliations and so forth. So I'm very hopeful for a normal timing of the September 30 audit this year. And we've got a excellent controller that's been helping me as I've been mostly on vacation the last 2 weeks. But she's been pulling a lot of that tax information from the stations, because there's mm-hmm. a lot of non-financial information that needs to be reported, and so that's been happening. And so, like Anita said, we should be in good shape this week or next with that.
Great. Okay. Well, if nobody has any other questions, I'm thinking that since people listening on the stream, most people probably don't have a copy of this reissued audit. We will try to get that posted on the website as soon as possible. You know, I think we can do that ahead of the 990 of, you know, even having the 990 as long as Jorge has no objection to that. I think it's done. It's formalized, right? Signed. So, you know, in case some of you want to, you know, have it in your hands and be able to look at everything we were talking about tonight. So
Madam Chair,
we'll get that done as soon as possible. Sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
Just question. If this is the end of this agenda item, can we move on to the executive session?
Well, yeah, we had a couple of other items. Just if there's any new business or anything else anybody has for the open session. If not,
Chair,
then we will thank our guests.
Chair,
yes?
this is Lawrence. I just would like to put on the Nets Audit Committee agenda the re-engagement of the Nets audit firm.
Okay. I hear you. Gotcha. Okay. Lawrence, let me just make a note. Lawrence on the next agenda. Okay, got it. So, do we want to set a new audit committee meeting right now, or shall we wait until we know what it is we want to discuss other than that particular item that Lawrence just mentioned? Does anyone have any particular feelings about that? Okay. All right. Let's see. Well, why don't we have our closed session and see if anything comes out of that that would lead us to set a specific date right now. Does that seem okay? I realize it's a little vague, but, you know, I don't want to set meetings if we don't have much to discuss.
Makes sense.
Okay, anybody else have any objections?
I got a request for information, Eileen.
Go ahead.
In regards to the management letters, is that going to be shared with the committee, or is that proprietary only for directors?
It's going to be shared with the committee this time, and we'll explain some of that in that meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing else, then I guess somebody can move to adjourn. After thanking our guests and Jorge, especially for that great presentation, I'll also say that if you think of questions afterwards that you would like to try to get answered, maybe send them to me and I can channel them to the appropriate person to answer them, whether it's Jorge or Anita or someone else.
Eileen, before we conclude this open session,
Yeah.
I just noticed one aspect of this that I feel I should ask one question about further, if you wouldn't mind. It does go to
okay, it's a little concern. Late, so that's not good, but do hurry with it.
Well, I'm sorry. It's important enough, though, I think.
Okay, just go ahead. Go ahead.
It goes to page 28 and the reference to the what we call the big loan. And the language seems a little exaggerated to me in the sense that it speaks of the foundation being at risk of having the loan called prematurely. We just got a generous extension from the lender and so on. I guess in the world of auditing, it's considered imperative to speak in the most conservative language possible. Is that why it's written mm-hmm. that way?
Yeah, that's accurate. Yeah. You know, you did get an extension. I mean, and that's great that you got the extension, but, you know, technically the terms of the original loan was that it could be called upon anywhere. But, you know, that's not, you know, that's more of a conservative sentence there, even though in reality, you know, that's the likelihood of that happening isn't that great. But we did have to put that in there because that was part of the basic terms of the original agreement.
I see. Okay. All right. I appreciate that.
Okay.
That further identity.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
That was a good question. Okay. Does somebody want to move to adjourn? Somebody?
So moved.
Well, okay. Any objections? All right. So I guess people can stay on, but we'll ask Fred to cut the stream.